This is the first rally to be ever held in the world. It started from Saudi. So, what's the sign? The sign that Saudi is now in the golden age for motorsports.
Hello and welcome to the Mayman Show. We're coming to you from our studios in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and today we have a very active person in the sports industry, the motorsports industry to be precise. We have Falah Jarba. Thank you very much for being with us, Falah.
Thank you.
And Falah, you're an advent promoter of the motorsports industry in Saudi. You've been here. You've been partaking and participating in lots of sporting motorsports activities and events. Before we get into all that, what's the latest project you're doing right now?
We're now working on a big motor festival. You've seen the changes in Saudi. Now Saudi is having more than one international motorsport in the same season, which didn't happen anywhere else. So Saudi started changing in motorsport before 2018. Maybe people think that 2018 was the first change where we got Formula E, but you know that this had to be cooked for 2 years, 3 years minimum to have it. So we started the Formula E, then we got Dakar Rally, which is the longest rally and most international, most famous and international rally, or the hardest. So, and exclusively in Saudi for the for 10 years. Then why am I saying all these motorsports? Because this is where we switched from being a racer or a team owner, or we started into influencing, then we started into building and having some grassroots people. I don't want to say kids or enthusiasts, how to switch them from being a fan into being a marshal, to have at least or a photographer or a videographer or a medic or whatever.
To have the ecosystem and infrastructure available
Exactly.
at hand.
Because people think we racers thought that if we win a race, sponsors would just come and knock on our doors. And that was the biggest mistake. And it is a still big mistake with some Saudi racers. Corporates would never go just for the winner if you couldn't fulfill their KPIs at the end, even if it was under CSR, even if it was it always comes back to numbers. So let's go back, jumping on the first Formula One, Formula E, Dakar. We've got the first electric rally, which was in NEOM, started in Ula, NEOM. This is the first rally to be ever held in the world. It started from Saudi. So what's the sign? The sign that Saudi is now in the golden age for motorsports. And the minister and the ministry team didn't stop there. This is where us just being racers would be a big gap in our career if you couldn't switch. So we started as a racer, then a team owner, then a championship organizers, because we saw where was the gap. We know where did it need some fixing, what really bothered us. So now we're doing even some tire barriers, some safety for the Formula One track, which is something that we are proud, me and my team and the Saudis that worked with us, for us having doing the tire barriers for a safety thing in Formula One, having the big names come in and doing some site visits. When you could see the system that's happening now in Saudi, everyone started watching Formula One. Everyone started knowing more information about motorsports, women's rally. You have to be there. So this is what we're in now. We're like 360. They wanted us racing. They wanted us organizing, influencing, getting some rookies into the system, starting from karting to whatever. So it's like a wave, and we just got our surfboard and got on the wave.
And you've been riding this wave since before it peaked. You've been in the motorsports industry for how many years now?
I started unprofessionally 2010.
2010. So roughly 11 years now.
Yeah,
You're
I
going
would say 10,
10.
because it was just like me or anyone who's watching or even listening. I started by coincidence. I had a Camaro. There was a underground race. It was so easy just to try. And I got kicked out from the first round.
Okay. How did you get kicked out? What was.
It was the first time I'm wearing a helmet in a car.
Okay.
It was the first time I got my branding for my company on the car. Then, in a race, they have to put their branding. I didn't like the idea that time, so I removed their branding, which had the car number, I
Okay.
know. And I was a bit huger than size matter, so I couldn't drive with a helmet, so I removed the helmet. So they disqualified me. And that was the best thing that ever happened to me in motorsports for this 10 years. Because
Why?
I tried, why? I tried to talk to them. They're like, no way. I was like, you're doing a big mistake. I'm a winner. I know myself. And it was the first race. I've never ever stood on a podium in motorsports. So 2011, I entered, I won. But I was me and the guys just racing. We needed sponsors, we needed income, we needed just like any proper racing team. So we started learning from companies, from watching. They said you need a name. So you need a name, a racing name. It's so hard to put a big corporate name with your name. We need to have a racing name. Bullet, for example, Lightning, Speed, Sonic, whatever.
All right.
So that was a second challenge. And I didn't want to. So why would I change? So I did it FJR, which stands for Falah Al Jalba Racing.
Okay.
So the same sponsor who told me just get a name and come back, he was like, is it Fajr Al-Sibaqat? I was like, no. Is it Fajr Al-Sibaqat? I was like, no.
That's just FJR.
It's FJR. He said, what does it mean? I said, Falah Al-Jalba. He said, I'm sorry. Change the name, we'll give you. And then I started working on having my name with any international company. And as we always said, you start cheap, you'll die cheap. You start big, you'll continue big. And it was all from, alhamdulillah.
God's willing.
God's willing. So 2015, we got the ambassadorship. I've started with Chevrolet, Bridgestone, Shell Oils, and all biggest name, but all into motorsport. We've got some opportunities with some watches, perfumes, but it doesn't fit exactly into automotive.
Okay. Unless it's like the specific brand was not related to the motorsports
It would
industry.
give you what anyone would need. It would
Okay.
cover your expenses, but it's not influencing 100%. I couldn't talk about perfumes. I know this is wrong even to say here,
Okay. No, it's
because
fine. Speak your mind.
I'm closing any opportunity.
Okay.
You need experience to be influencing. You just don't need numbers, eyeballs. It's easy always to get people
Okay.
watch, come visit, buy once, but whenever. It's so hard to get them back again. It's so hard to really give them proper information that they couldn't reach even online. Car media, which is the biggest problem in Saudi. You're in the media for a decade more.
Oh, me, I grew up in this industry.
So, yeah,
Let's just put it that way.
that's why you couldn't find a lot of people writing into motorsport. You did
All right.
3 or 4 times. You had the knowledge. Others would be scared of writing a wrong information. It's not about the demand. Saudi proved that motorsport is the second biggest sports in Saudi. You've seen the numbers, you've seen the attendance. We've covered the attendance of any soccer game in Saudi that ever has been made.
Yeah. I mean, and Saudi in general is a country that loves motorsports, the motor industry in general. Let's just
Exactly.
put it that way.
Exactly. Either it was legal or illegal.
Yeah.
And that's how Saudi was famous in the US when they watched some drifting videos. Maybe you and anyone remembers the Hyundai Accent video when someone was sliding with
Yeah,
his.
no. I mean, we don't have to go that very far. I mean, I remember a very old classic video for BBC's Top Gear showing,
This is the
Saudi
video. That's the
drifting.
video I'm
It was a
talking about.
Toyota Camry, if I wasn't mistaken.
Yeah. And they put it the other car. So Saudi proved, but there was not enough media because they're scared. They needed the knowledge. Car media, people would just read whatever the leaflet holder said, I want to buy a car. I don't want you to tell me how many horsepower. I don't want you to tell me, does it have cruise control?
Cruise control.
Okay. I don't want you to tell me that has
cruise control. Such an archaic feature nowadays, right?
Exactly. Some words, they need someone who would give them the story about this company, how did it start, and these things. And motorsport is always, why do manufacturers and cars go into Formula One? Mm-hmm. It's a loss. You know how much does it cost for engines, for a car? Billions.
Okay.
Billions they're paying. Why? It's a proof that we can if we wanted.
Yeah.
So motorsports or Formula One is we can, and then we could sell more.
It's just to show your legacy as a car manufacturing brand.
Let's exactly. As stretching your muscles, we can. That's why some concept cars come.
Yeah.
People would say, why do they have this concept car? It's 16 cylinders, 18. It's we can if we want to, but it's not profitable. So drifting is a controlled chaos entertainment race. It's where anyone's nightmare, driving or racing, when a car drifts, that's your nightmare. That's when you lose control. So drifting happens to the moment that the only piece in the car, as big as it is, as small as it is, the contact between the tarmac is felt and the whole car is only the tires, which doesn't exceed more than 1 centimeter. Everyone thinks whatever the tire was, why? No, the contact is very small. Because if you look at the tire, this is the only piece that is touching the tarmac. So when the smoke starts coming out of the tire, it's where the rubber evaporates immediately, not into being something liquid.
Okay.
Because, you know, most of the things, it goes from hard to liquid to evaporates or...
evaporates, turns into smoke, dust, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Smoke. So drifting, no, you're skipping the liquid part. Mm-hmm. You're going immediately. There's no time from solid to evaporation. And this is where you need to be so fast, faster than any semiconductor processor, because mistakes are by milliseconds, where you could keep your car controlled and drifting not into the proper way. And you would always win the love of the audience, the crowd. They don't really care about the position. Media sponsors would go for the position, but always there's two trophies in drifting. That's whatever position you took, and there's the love of the public.
Love of the fans. The adulation.
Which is the hardest.
Okay.
Which is the best. Which is what really gives you anything later that you want. Because if you win them, you're done.
All right. And you've done all sorts of races. So you've done drifting, time-lapse races. How many races have you participated in? What makes each one different?
Okay. I started in drifting. Then I wanted to test myself. Am I a drifter or am I a professional racer? I went into autocross. I won. I took a championship. I went into GT, which is time attack.
Yeah.
Or it's almost time attack. GT is 7 races into points. I took first position, kingdom-wide. And every car is different. So drifting was with a Chevy Camaro. Autocross was with a Corvette, with Viper. I used my own daily used car. This was the biggest challenge. This is where people loved that thing, because it's not a proper full race car built that
it's not a racing spec vehicle.
It's just something like for daily use. It's just like when you win a gunfight with a water gun.
Okay.
Exactly. This is exactly it. How do you put it?
All right.
So imagine you win a gunfight with a water gun. People would just not fall in love with you. People would, you're going to be their idol, their icon. This is where it's going to be more effort on you, because you're going to have to reply every single question. Because what are we selling? We're selling safety and another thing, that anyone could be a professional racer.
All right.
I'm always telling my story. Yes, I did start not in circuits where there wasn't circuits in Saudi. I had to. Everyone had to. No one could say they've never tried to drift. Maybe you, me.
Yeah.
The guys here.
No, I never have, but it's all good.
Yeah. So even if you were in a compound, you have to. Any teenager would love to do it. Look at any kids looking at a red racing car. Immediately, they would love and start pointing. This is where anyone loves. So let's go back. GT. Then I tried time attack. So I try a new race, I move on the moment I win a championship. It's just like having a trophy on whenever I want to retire back, whenever I want to talk to my kids, whenever I want to tell my kids, yeah, your dad raced here, won here, at least once.
Okay.
So one time is enough for me. And I was more hungry for motorsports. Drifting was 7, 8, 9 rounds, which is the most rounds in motorsport.
Mm-hmm.
There was 3 autocross, 3 GT. So I wanted them all. I wanted to race more. I wanted to challenge myself. I was enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
I made the team bigger. My team still races till now. I started with one guy, and now we're having another guy. The team is bigger. So I did the hill climb, the first hill climb Saudi ever did. And we influenced the motorsport industry of having these types of races. Because drifting, you're going to need to make space.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, younger people would come and be hard to beat. We're aging.
Okay.
So we wanted to change. So we raced in hill climb. We won. It happened 3 years maybe or 4 years. It was one race. Since it started till it finished, we won in every single race.
All right.
And we didn't use the same car. So I used the first year a car, the second year another car, the third year another car. It's always challenging. It's enjoying. So GT, autocross, we just try. And the challenges where you couldn't win in a race.
Okay. So the fact that you like to basically test your might, I guess, in different aspects of motorsports. Have you decided of expanding it to complement how motorsports is expanding here in Saudi? Have you ever thought of doing a Dakar rally or a Formula E or a Formula One?
I'm not a fan of electric, I know.
Yeah, well, you could do Formula One then.
I'm going to need 30 years to, if I wanted Formula One, I'm going to need 30 years of training. And to be honest, with all humbleness, I couldn't reach there.
Okay.
It's not only me. In the whole era of Formula One, mm-hmm. which is not 50, more than 50 years, there have never been in the whole history of Formula One a Saudi or an Arab driver.
Okay.
So when someone wants to enter Formula One, they start before they even reach 18.
All right.
So it's not an option for maybe, I'll talk on behalf of myself. Maybe some people wouldn't love to hear this, but it's too late for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too hard. Our companies, you need sponsors, and it's always manufacturers. The whole sponsors that I worked with, most American, or they're not into Formula One.
Right.
It's always European, Japanese.
Yeah, I mean, Formula One is more of a European. It's more of a continental sport than in the U.S.
Yeah.
All right. So, from your own personal perspective and opinion, how have you seen this basically evolve the public's interest in attending these events? And also, how have you seen this evolve as far as knowledge transfer for people who are partaking, like the racers or drifters and what have you? Like, how have you seen this complement the change?
When people start watching motorsports, this is where you could have two positive things. Number one, our people aren't that not educated, because people who watch motorsports are mostly well-educated.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that soccer people who watch are not, but soccer is the
soccer.
It has another name in Arabic, but we don't want to.
It's the sport of the kingdom, but do not under
not kingdom.
You know, of the world in general, but like it's the if we had to say it's the most, what's the most popular sport in Saudi Arabia, it'd have to be football. But do not underestimate the volume or population that loves motorsports, because I think just the motor industry in general is something that's like embedded in Saudi roots and Saudi blood.
Exactly.
We love cars.
We do.
That's just
and cars. It's the most expensive sports, not motor, sports ever. Costing, owning, driving, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And people might think that, and it's a good business for someone if he was a winner, a racer who worked on himself. Yes, it would be a good daytime job.
Okay.
And that's a dream. People would always say, you're gonna be lucky if you worked what you love. I always had a different say. It's no, you're lucky if you changed what you love into work. It's
Okay.
not working what you love.
Yeah.
You
Okay.
know, it's whatever you love, change it into an income, change it into a business. So you could maintain doing what you love. It's gonna need, it's a formula. You need income, outcome, that's it. And you could continue whatever
Okay.
you're doing. And you're gonna do it perfect. So people started into motorsport. People started wearing motorsport things, which isn't cheap. People started getting more educated. Whenever they get more educated into motorsport, this is where they could start watching other countries, start watching the racer's life, start contributing. When you have 10, 20, 30 international racers coming here to Saudi, they're going to be driven by Saudis, they're going to be hosted by Saudis, they're going to be escorted by
Escorted. They're
Saudis.
going to see the Saudi culture. They're going to experience, like for example, we were talking about the first Formula E, so they were there, they were exposed to cultural events, they were exposed to concerts where international music acts were playing in Saudi. They were seeing
And
the
they would
whole.
be the influencers for Saudi because they're going to have some content to talk in their country. They're going to need, always a racer would need content to talk to sell the media, give the media, to have something to talk about and grab some attention. So when they came to Saudi, they have content. They saw that Saudi isn't whatever was sold to them by X or
X
Hollywood,
entity or, Hollywood or whatever.
whatever. So, and they started being our ambassadors of Saudi indirectly, which has more effect than Saudi promoting itself. You know, just like a company telling you we have the best coffee. And when you hear it from a third party, those have the best coffee, which would have a better effect, a third party. So
Third party, yeah.
these racers, and they have good numbers of followers, and they would have content. So this is how it contributed with the people. They were escorted, had meetings with them, talking with them, asking with them, selfies with them.
Exactly. Eating
This
their food, staying in their hotels and
exactly. It's not only motorsports, in general.
I mean it's like it's an ecosystem. It's a it's horizontal sectors, that make this thrive. And getting back to catching attention and being a winning brand, you're the ambassador for Chevrolet in the Middle East region. How did that happen? How were you approached for this, by the way?
It started in a very funny, it was a post from Chevrolet. They reached to all the Camaro owners in the Middle East on their website to just apply for their cars, just put them, and we're gonna do a contest, a yearly contest. So this contest was just having videos of the car. They've sent it to the team, Arab GT team. They came, I don't know if you're gonna kill Arab GT team. Yeah,
GT,
you're
sure.
good with
Yeah,
them.
it's good.
Okay, so
Open the
they got Arab GT and they came and take videos. Then they shortlisted it into 100 cars, and all the countries was Saudi, Kuwait, Jordan, most of the Middle East countries. Then they shortlisted it into 50. Then they shortlisted it into 10, then they shortlisted it into 5, and then 1. So I won the voting. It was a voting, and it was yearly. So, second year they called it off, and then they officially announced me as the brand ambassador. And the Camaro King, which is following me everywhere, people still.
Yeah,
And
people
once.
call you the Camaro King. That's
Yeah,
your moniker,
when I
huh?
read Camaro King with a comment, I immediately know this is coming from Egypt or Jordan. When I'm hearing Abu Amira, I know that those are Saudis who watched the video for me revealing the car, because Abu Amira was one of the guys called me in the video. When someone called, I started tracing whoever calls me, and I do some studying with myself. So, are you from Egypt, Jordan? He's like, yeah, I'm from Jordan. So, and then they shut the contest for every year, and they kept it. So they didn't do a second year because the idea was having a brand ambassador every year.
So they're satisfied with their selection.
I
They
don't
felt they
want
didn't need to do another one anymore, huh?
to. We're both happy. We're both
Okay. What was
satisfied.
your video, by the way?
For the Khmer King?
Yeah, for the contest. Yeah, exactly. What
No,
was the.
they did the whole edit. It's just to come to take a video of the car.
Okay.
Nothing.
All right.
Just
So what?
modifications.
That's it.
Yeah, whatever you modify the car. So that time I had three cars, but I took one in the contest and it was my winning car. And it was still in that year. And they had the sixth generation of the Camaro. And
Okay.
the prize was a trip to the States. Yeah. That where it became so nice, so good to be true. We went to the States. They presented me as this guy is the winner of a contest
Okay.
and our brand ambassador. Then I sat with the guys in the factory. I started asking questions. They're like, are you sure this guy is just a Camaro owner? Because the knowledge was there, the questions was there. He predicted some things that was there. Then we had more time to sit together. We extended the stay for 2 more days. And then that's where it really started from the marketing team in the factory into our regional office in Dubai and then here. And it stayed. Then I got approached by tires. The first approach was by a tier three, which I didn't really want to go there because I always say you start cheap, you're gonna die cheap. So I had four names. One of these four names I would accept to carry the name on, which would add to me and I could add to them. Because when a sponsor comes and he is really well armed and good name, it would be easier for you to talk without feeling guilt if you had some conscience in you as an influencer.
It's a product you believe in, basically.
Exactly. So then I got sponsored by Bridgestone Tires 2016. That was 2 years after General Motors. And now I'm carrying more than brand name. Last one was Shell Oils. No one, which is with Ferrari Formula One for years. So, and I always contribute with followers. I never forget them because if it wasn't them and the media, no one would ever know you. It's not winning.
Oh, you're the
It's.
easiest person for me to get a hold of. I've been we've had a nice professional working relationship for over 3 years,
Yeah.
and you're always a WhatsApp message away. It's just
Thank you.
so yeah, I usually ask my guests if there's a message they'd like to give to our Arab News audience. Aside from take calculated risks, which I'm sure is something you would say. What is yours?
I'm proud being here in this show. Arab News was a very good partner, and having the power to come and write whatever you wrote last time, that was a change in our media. We've always had some humble media there. Having the information that you wrote, I'm having a lot of people.
I'm a risk taker in media, so
I know
that's one thing.
that's where you reached here. All expats, or 80% of the expats, always have shared the Arab News paper with me. Always. It's not only because of the language. I've got other media that did, but is it, I don't know, maybe you know where to put them.
We've had a pleasant time having you here on the show. We could talk to you for hours, and that's all the time we have for this episode. Dear viewers, tune in next week to the Mayman Show. See who we will have next.
Welcome.